16 minutes away from 4 o'clock. It's Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Andy Bullbarch, Matt Douglas with you until about 5:45 before we clear the way for girls basketball in our Center for Orthopedics cage matchup with Columbia traveling to Oberlin. Well, now it's time for our local beat segment with Dave O'Brien of the Chronicle Telegram, and it's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Stop by and see Jim and Bob and everyone at Vandermark Jewelers. They are in Elyria, right across from the hospital on Broad Street. They're a trusted name in jewelry. And if you stop by, you'll see why. Dave, a pleasure as always, my friend. How are you?
A pleasure to be here, Bull. I'm doing all right.
There's a lot happening. Seems like that's the case every week you walk in here. And there's certainly no shortage of content for this interview, let me tell you. But can we celebrate the reopening of Abbey Road in Elyria, finally? I felt like 18 months ago we had this conversation, but I guess in theory it was only about three. But they finally reopened it at 3 o'clock today. You can finally go north and south on Abbey Road, and you don't have to worry about any of the riffraff that came as a result. Why are you laughing?
The school goes on break next week, after next week. I find that interesting. They started it the first day the college opened up, and now they're finishing right during finals week. Just find that intriguing.
We can celebrate, right?
Yes.
Illyrians, your long municipal nightmare is over.
Yes.
Is all I can say with that. You know, and haven't been up and down that road, a couple times. Again, this is not for some, for some strange, traffic engineering reason. Again, this is all the East Side Relief Sewer, an unfunded, mandate from the, from the state and the federal government. It's going to help keep the Black River clean. It's going to help keep the community, clean and keep sewage out of people's basements. That's all the reason behind it. And yeah, a 90-day break in the action along that route, was a headache. And a lot of people told us it was a headache. But now, going into the weekend, you can go up and down that road as much as you like. Please, observe the speed limit, but no drag racing. But yeah, it's open. Breathe a sigh of relief, Elyria.
Yes.
Good
yes.
time for it, right? Finneywood Estates, I believe they start the lights up this weekend. So
Finneywood's going to be real nice this year, as it does in many years past.
Indeed. Yeah.
Plus, it'll make it easier for you and I to get to LCCC tomorrow for the zero-proof mix-off, right?
Hey, all right.
Absolutely.
Good thinking.
Always a fun time.
Always a great
Indeed
time.
Indeed it is.
All right. Well, you covered an interesting story that I wanted to hit on here that talks about, old gas stations and underground storage tanks. So for those who haven't had a chance to hear this just yet, Lorain County's Community Development Department is seeking firms that want to work with the county on cleaning up potentially hazardous former gas stations with underground storage tanks to spur future development. So my question to you is, how does all this work and who potentially could be involved here? This just sounds pretty bizarre.
Well, first of all, I'll note that it involves my favorite an agency of Ohio government has my favorite governmental acronym of all time. That is the Bureau of Underground Storage Tank Regulations, or BUSTR. And basically, they're a division of the Department of Commerce. And the county's has this $500,000 grant from the state, and basically, these old underground storage tanks, whenever a gas station gets abandoned and sold, and then and nobody comes in and puts a new gas station in, and a lot of times when they do come and put a new one in, you have to replace the tanks anyway. I guess tank technology has just improved that much over the years that
it hasn't tanked.
Yes. Why didn't we see that coming, Matt?
I've been fueling up for that one.
Oh, yeah. You looked like you were winding up there. Well, that was you and
sorry.
I left a hanger right out there. And you knocked it out of the park.
What was that? Jack, Jack, Jackety Jack.
That's right. That's right. Sorry, as you were.
I won't do my Tom Hamilton impression. Sorry. but seriously, this division basically, helps local entities, pull these tanks out of the ground, mitigate a lot of the environmental problems, and this particular grant affects places where they've identified these old underground tanks that leaked or that have the potential to leak. Don Romancic from community development was the commissioner's Tuesday morning, and he basically said, you know, we'll go in, and then we were digging up one of these, you know, some years ago, and we said, we know we got three tanks. And so they went in, pulled out three tanks, and then part of the sidewalk, they were going after that, you know, with the jackhammer or whatever. And a fourth tank appeared almost out of nowhere, and was still full of diesel. So they had to mitigate that. That cost a lot more money. So what they're trying to do, and particularly there's one property in Overland, and then there's also one we may have talked about, E&L Transport out in, on Baumhart Road in Lorain, where there were underground storage tanks. And they either had, you know, the possibility that they could leak or that they had leaked in the past. This also helps out. Say you have a mom and pop gas station where you close it down and the kids don't want to, you know, they don't want to give up the property necessarily, or that, you know, whoever's, you know, taken over can't pay the cost of removing these tanks to then sell the property to somebody who doesn't want to pay that cost down the line. You can't just leave these in there, fill them in. You know, there's a lot of environmental issues going on. So basically, what happens is that that counties and local entities can go and say, hey, we'll work with the property owner. We will use this money from the state if you allow us to come on, you know, give us a, you know, license to kind of come on the property, rip all this stuff out, and then resell. Well, the E&L Transport, you know, company that, again, we've talked about, you know, that went into foreclosure and the county owns that property, but it wants to be able to sell it, you know, so that down the line somebody can put something in there, whether it's a facility or a factory or what have you. So this helps kind of the economic growth, you know, the economic potential of those properties. And it's really, you know, it's kind of a project that it's one of those things I don't think a lot of people think about, you know, is that you got to clean up that property to make it viable for somebody else to make money off.
Makes sense. I mean, there can always be a hole that sprouts in one of those with erosion and everything else. Also, it blows my mind. There's not laws against these things having to be emptied after a property closes down. Wouldn't be that hard to discount gas and get rid of it.
And, you know, and sometimes they do get emptied. You know, other times, I think, you know, in that one case that I mentioned, you know, basically there weren't good maps. There weren't good plans. You know, that this thing was still there.
Huh.
So maybe even the folks who
just got missed,
who had forgotten about it, you know, and kind of taken off without realizing, oh, hey, we got to empty that other tank. Or, you know, if sometimes you see these stations, you know, that have like a big like corporate label, they get sold to some other place, which becomes Acme Gasoline, mm-hmm. you know, and they don't realize that there was a tank there too. And they pull out some of the pumps and they think it's all the work's been done, but you have to mitigate this stuff, you know, for a lot of reasons before you want to turn that property over. So that's an ongoing thing. And if there's more on that, you'll see it in Chronicle T.
Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us here on our local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Diving into some other information from the Lorain County Commissioners, they recently approved an increase of nearly $137,000 in funding to Lorain County Safe Harbor and the Genesis House Domestic Violence Shelter from a Social Security Act Title XX funds, right? So what exactly does this do?
So I don't know exactly what the $137,000 is going to end up doing. You know, Lorain County Safe Harbor, Genesis House is a great great program, and basically gives a lot of hope to survivors and people trying to get out of bad situations. Whether that's going to be used, you know, operationally, you know, I wasn't able to immediately figure out. But that is a good question. I can see that you are a true journalist, Bull. you're asking the tough questions. And if I find out what exactly that money will be used for, I'll let everybody know. But it's one of those things where a lot of stuff administratively comes through commissioners, and a lot of things that maybe, you know, it's the sausage of how things are made. You know, you don't want to see laws and sausage made, right? Because, you know, I have distaste for both. But but basically, you know, some of these funds come from a federal or a state, you know, source. And then they have to filter down through, you know, through the commissioners and through localities. So this is some extra money. And I do know the Social Security Title 20 is meant to keep families together, you know, and a lot of those funds are passed down, from higher up in order to maintain the family unit. You know, so and it's a good thing if you're able to keep families together, but also keep them safe. So I'll try to find out a little bit more about that and get back to you on it.
Before we get to the scanner stories, What's going on with the Domestic Relations Court's updated computer system? Reading your article earlier today, seems like that hasn't been updated in nearly two decades. That's a very, very long time.
Yeah, and this was kind of a wild one where basically a lot of the clerks and, you know, Jody Barilla, who's the court administrator, was telling commissioners the other day that a lot of the clerks have to kind of input the same information twice into two different systems, you know, in domestic relations and you know, for domestic relations, juvenile court, you know, in order to avoid scheduling conflicts. And this will bring everything under a single system that will be cloud-based and not server-based. So you don't have to pay for more servers when you run out of room. You don't have to pay the maintenance fees for some guy to come out and say, yep, looks like your server's fried. You know, we'll need to sell you a new one. That'll be $90,000, please. You know, you won't have a lot of that. This basically will also allow people to, you know, attorneys or folks at home, you know, wanting to file court documents, you can do it right from your laptop, sitting on your couch, you know, in front of a roaring fire. You know, so there'll be e-filing will be allowed. It's a million and I think $1.1 million project. But these, you know, that's the kind of thing that, like, yeah, it's really complicated. Could have been much worse, you know. But it will cut in half the amount of time that the clerks and schedulers spend actually scheduling these hearings, so that hearing officers aren't supposed to be in, you know, in one place at one time and one place or another, and judges don't have to, you know, don't have to kind of cross paths, you know, or jumping around. And it'll save a lot of headaches for people involved in the system, and, you know, hopefully save some headaches when it comes to scheduling. So we'll see that going in, and it's all part of a kind of a multi-million dollar project that they're doing just to make sure that what they call the case management systems in all the courts that tell you, you know, hey, when you look up so and so who's accused of, you know, some crime, you know, you can see that they are coming up for a hearing. You can see what attorneys are, you know, are set to defend them. You can see what judges in front of, you know, all that kind of case management software. All of that's being updated these days, and so that'll go on down the line. And when that all gets settled again, I'll keep reporting on it.
Well, you mentioned a roaring fire a few minutes ago, and I think that's a terrific segue into our scanner stories, because sometimes those are caused by roaring fires in some form or fashion. So what kinds of goodies have you dialed up for us this week?
Well, not quite the thing you want to see at a Winterfest, but Dateline Cleveland, report of a male possibly high exposing himself to people on public square at Winterfest.
Oh boy, yeah, that's bad news.
So that's not something that you want to have happen.
Not at all.
And not
especially
to,
in the cold.
Yeah, right.
Why would you be willing to do that?
Yes, it's a bad idea for everyone.
Well, and not to rag on Cleveland too bad, but also Dateline Cleveland. Disturbance reported at McDonald's. Report of a woman screaming at employees because her no-salt fries were taking too long to prepare.
It's the worst with no-salt fries. That's how my mom's at. God bless. I love my mom, but she orders everything like extra crispy, and she doesn't yell at anybody. That wasn't her, but look, when you're doing the special order, just expect it to take longer because you're taking up everybody else's time. Just order it the way it is. If you don't like them, don't go there.
Yes.
Yep.
Very well stated, Mike.
I should have yelled at her.
You should have.
Get out of here with your stupid special order. If it's not on the menu, you don't get it.
She wanted salty fries, man.
She wanted non-salty fries.
Oh, non-salty. That's right.
Yeah. See, you'd have gotten
I would have messed up
trouble.
The order.
Yeah. You'd have given her the salty fries, and then you'd have really been in a...
There is a reason I don't work in the food
store.
Service industry.
Yes.
I think one of the comments on there, too, sounds like she was salty enough.
Oh, that's good. I'm surprised Bull missed that.
Was it perhaps Andy Bull Barch?
I'm surprised.
I cannot confirm nor deny. All right, Dave, a pleasure as always. We appreciate you stopping in. We look forward to catching up with you again next week.
All right, sounds good, Bo.
Thank you, Dave, again. That's Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us on the Local Beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Stop by and see them. They're on Broad Street in Elyria, right across from the hospital. Vandermark Jewelers is a trusted name in jewelry, and if you stop by, you'll see why.